Friends at Counterpunch had another cool story that I liked, and it's called, headline is, Disability is Shaping the 2020 Presidential Race, but not in the way that it should. Disabilities Act Day is July 26th, so it's just a couple days ago. Anyway, here's the news. Oh, hi, X1. Welcome. Now, if you take Donald Trump's word for it, he's all there while his presumed Democratic opponent, Joe Biden, may not be. According to Trump, doctors at Walter Reed Medical Center found the president's performance on a recent cognitive exam unbelievable, given...
Member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. It is, you're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And it is a beautiful night. It is 1904 UTC on a beautiful Wednesday, April the 5th, 2023, my brothers and sisters and everybody on the gender spectrum, welcome, welcome. It's News to Me Day. Oh man, we are on the roof. We have a lot of cirrus clouds in the sky. And oh look, we've got a nice moving wave, standing like thing of real flat. Their clouds are like medium height, but they're flat. They're real flat. So it creates a beautiful tapestry on the sky. Let's see if there's anything over here towards the woods. One of the things that the city of Austin made the business I'm at do is preserve a lot of the big old trees. So, hey, look at that. A bunch of big old trees. It's kind of funny to see them juxtaposed with giant modern buildings. But hey, they're still here and they're still harboring wildlife, so it's pretty rad. Alright, let's jump over to Comp. We got lots of cool people out there, like X1 and Bob Jonkman. Tope's probably around somewhere. But hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. Shoutouts to Ratsu and DJ Snowdust. He's popped in on Comp a little bit every so often lately, so that's been cool. And Publius is here. We've got some cool nuclear news. But, you know, we should start up the way we pretty much always start, because there is a lot of gruesome death and destruction. A pretty nasty story will kind of begin the whole thing. Wind noise. I'm trying to guard against it, but what I've done is I've hidden the microphone inside of my beard. I have a large, bushy beard. And I've buried the microphone in there, kind of like a windsock. So hopefully it's not too windy for you guys what you're hearing. If so, I can travel down, out of the wind, downstairs somewhere, but it'll be weird. Anyway, hopefully it's a little better. Yeah, the Unix beard is a windscreen. It was very funny. I looked in the mirror the other day and was like, wow, my beard's growing gray. My beard's going gray, and I'm known as the Unix guy, the Linux guy. So it's kind of funny. all right. Hey, Claudie Wim. Welcome, welcome. hopefully you'll get back to the office in time and you hear the archive. But let's start with some of these horrible deaths. There's quite a few just senseless deaths, but this is particularly sad. It comes to us from Brazil. At least 4 young children have been killed by a man wielding a hatchet in a kindergarten in the city of Blumenau in southern Brazil. Another 4 children were injured by the 25-year-old man who entered the creche at around 900 local time on Wednesday. At least one of them is reported in a serious condition. Police told local media that the attacker had surrendered and was in police custody. In a statement, military police said that the assailant had handed himself in at one of their stations in town. Oh, this wind is something else. I might go sit behind this wall. Let's see. I can't get out of the wind over here. Yeah, the wind's a little less severe here. Let's just sit on the ground. Hopefully nobody thinks I've passed out. Fun aside, when I was, I can't see the trees, but it is quieter down here on the ground. In high school, we had took a field trip to Six Flags, and it was the first time I'd ever gotten drunk, so I was very hungover the next day while we were at Six Flags, and I just was dead to the world. I laid down on the ground. The line was too long for the game, for the ride, so I just waited outside the ride, and I laid on the ground, and nobody could wake me up because I was just dead to the world. And eventually someone, like, with a medical bag was like, "Sir, are you okay?" And it was like, "Oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. I just stayed up all night last night." But it did cause me distress, so I'm always worried about that. Creche is for toddlers, from X1. Okay, yeah, it was a very small school, so let's get on back into it. Bob Junkman said, "Oh, a 5mm vertical strike." Oh, wow. Hey, Tope. Yeah, this is a terrible story. Firefighters say 3 boys and a girl were killed in the playground. They're thought to have been between 4 and 7 years old. In total, around 40 children had been inside the Cantino Bomb Pastor Nursery, which translates as Good Shepherd at the time of the attack. Just irony's not lost. Let's see. I'll see if I can't get you a link to a map. As we all know, I love maps, even sad maps. Let's see, paste, enter, sad map. All right, if you go to sdf.org/l/09, so that's sdf.org/Lima/Oscar9, all lowercase, sdf.org/l/09, that's Oscar9, all lowercase. That will take you to a web P that will show you where, show you Brazil, and then in lane on that where the tragedy has taken place. The assailant jumped over a wall in order to gain entrance to the privately run kindergarten, and it apparently targeted the victims at random. A teacher, Simone Arpacida Camargo, said it was a scene that you'd never imagined you'd see in your life. A colleague came running, saying, "Close the door, close the window, because someone is breaking into the building." At first we thought it was a robbery because he tried to break in, so I locked the babies in the bathroom. Then someone came to the door saying, "He's come to kill." She said the entire preschool class had been in the playground. Ms. Camargo added that as well as a hatchet, the man also carried other weapons, although she didn't specify what they were. Parents ran to the kindergarten as news of the incident spread. City officials have suspended classes in the city until at least tomorrow. The governor of the state, where Blumenau is located, has declared 3 days of mourning. Sadly, it's not the first time a kindergarten in the state has been a target of attack. In 2021, an 18-year-old man killed 2 staff members and 3 toddlers in the municipality of Soldados. And this is just 10 days after a teenager stabbed a teacher to death and injured another 4 at a school in Sao Paulo. So anyway, it's very sad and just a bit shocking. So anyway, that's a story that in the United States, I listen to the news on the radio in the morning and check my local newspaper, and this horrible tragedy wasn't there, so I wanted to be sure everybody knew. Well, don't worry, there's other senseless deaths. And some of them even worse. Police in the Canadian province of Manitoba have found the body of an Indigenous woman in a city landfill less than a year after remains of another woman were discovered in the same location. The body of Linda Mary Beardy, 33, was recovered from the body from the Brady landfill in Winnipeg on Monday. It's where the remains of Rebecca Contois were found on May 16th. Police said they believe the two deaths are unrelated. Ms. Contois, 24, I think it's Contois, it's C-O-N-T-O-I-S, 24, is one of four Indigenous women who are believed to have been killed by an alleged serial killer in Winnipeg, who has since been arrested. The bodies of the other three have not yet been found. Let's see. Indigenous women are 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing than other women in Canada. And police said Miss Beardy is from the Lake St. Martin First Nation and had been living in Winnipeg. She'd not been reported as a missing person. Red dresses were hung outside Brady Landfill on Tuesday after the body of Miss Beardy was found, in honor of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls in Canada. So, sad tragedy there. It's just, man. Yep, Tope, there is murder in Canada. Apparently a serial murderer up there. I like to think of Canada as kind of like a much more peaceful and loving place, but they have their fair share of violence too. But let's talk about America for a second, especially Florida, where the family of a Florida boy who was fed to alligators by his father after mother's brutal stabbing share shock. The family members of a two-year-old boy who was found inside the mouth of an alligator in Florida soon after his mother's death have broken their silence. The body of toddler Taylan Mosley was found inside the reptile last week, a day after his mother was found brutally stabbed. An officer found an alligator with a missing child in its mouth near the Dell Holmes Park in St. Petersburg on Friday. The officer fired their weapon at the reptile, which then dropped the boy's body. However, by then, the boy had succumbed to his injuries. The boy's mother, Passion Jeffrey, was found dead in her apartment on March 30th with more than 100 stab wounds. Taylan's father, Thomas Mosley, was arrested on Friday night on two charges of first-degree murder in connection with the deaths of the boy and his mother. And the rest of it's mostly family interviews. But yeah, it's just a real tragedy, and it's just more kids passing away before they even had a chance. Bob Junkman. Publius made a good joke. If you die in Canada, you die in real life. But yeah, 100 stab wounds is not a small thing. But the fact that he then took the little kid afterwards and fed him to some alligators, or threw him, I guess he didn't feed him, he threw him to the alligators, because then the alligator was in the process of eating him when the cop found him. So, yeah, it's something else. It's pretty heavy, man. Don't worry. We got to get through the rest of this death and destruction. There's several more deaths to talk about, so I'm sorry to lay this all on you. I know we like to talk and joke about the death and destruction, but sometimes it's heavy, man. But it's something we kind of got to, if you totally ignore it, it doesn't stop happening. And it kind of allows or encourages it to keep on going. The founder of Cash App, which is not necessarily not a moral judgment whether he's good or bad, but he's not a poor man. The founder of a multi-billion-dollar tech company called Cash App, a man named Bob Lee, was fatally stabbed near downtown San Francisco on Tuesday. San Francisco police found a 43-year-old man with stab wounds and treated him before he later died. His father, Rick Lee, confirmed his son, who was also the ex-chief technology officer at Square, had been killed. San Francisco officials have been criticized for their response to a wave of violent crime in recent years. California San Francisco Police Department said officers responded to reports of a stabbing on Tuesday around 2:35 local time. They found Mr. Lee unconscious on the ground with two stab wounds to his chest, but started to administer aid before rushing him to San Francisco General Hospital. At the time of his death, Mr. Lee was chief product officer of the cryptocurrency company MobileCoin. He was a generous, decent human being who didn't deserve to be killed, according to the CEO of Abra, a cryptocurrency company, on Twitter, noting that Mr. Lee also was a father. Yeah, so it's really sad. Homicides have been a particular issue for San Francisco since the pandemic. There were 56 homicides in the city in 2021 and 2022, and preliminary police data show that the 12 homicides in San Francisco this year is a 20% increase compared to the same period the previous year. So, Publius points out, a cryptocurrency CEO is not a great character witness. Hey, Zen Floater 2, welcome, welcome. See you joining and leaving. Hey, LCD. welcome, welcome. Glad to see you tuning in, jumping in. We're going through the death and destruction part of the show. We're almost there, which is good because we're at 18 minutes past the hour. Now it's time to talk about some less violent deaths, but still deaths. Several are dead after a tornado tears through Missouri, a state in the United States. Multiple people have died, and search and rescue efforts are underway after a tornado ripped through the southeast portion of Missouri overnight. Officials told BBC News that local police and state highway patrol teams were assisting with rescue and recovery efforts. The exact number of fatalities is still unclear. Much of south and central Missouri was under a tornado watch until 1100 local time. Residents who emerged early on Wednesday morning to survey the damage found trees toppled on cars and roofs ripped from homes. The tornado touched down just before 400 hours or 4 a.m., officials told an affiliate of the BBC's U.S. media partner, CBS. One resident told local reporters he woke up just as the storm pressed down on his home and urged his family to quickly hide in the bathroom. There have been more than 80 reported tornadoes since March 31st, the weather system reported. It's almost like the climate is changing and the weather patterns are, the extreme weather is becoming more intense. Oh, let's see. Death by tornado is probably pretty violent. I guess it's just, it's not human on human violence. Yeah, definitely. Alright, so what else is going on? Well, the world's still full of sadness. At least 10 students have been abducted in Nigeria. They weren't killed with a hatchet or anything gruesome like that, thankfully. At least not yet. At least 10 students were abducted by gunmen in northwestern Nigeria. Students from the government secondary school in Kaduna State were abducted during an attack Monday. However, it was unclear exactly where they were kidnapped from, said Samuel Arwan, the state commissioner of security. The exact location of the incident is yet to be ascertained, but detailed reports being awaited will clarify whether the incident occurred within the school premises or elsewhere. This seems like a basic fact that they would know. we went to take roll call and several children were missing. We assume they've been abducted. While attacks were reduced last year as Nigeria's security forces ramped up military operations targeting the gunmen's hideouts, the government still struggles to quell the insurgency. So, that's what's going on that. You got it, Publius. Oh, wow, siren test up in Nebraska 3 hours and 21 minutes ago. I'm in Austin, Texas. We just recently had to, our police force has a lot of money. But for some reason, they just don't seem to have enough people to handle doing any basic police functions. So the city asked for the state government to send in the what we call the DPS troopers, or the state police. So the state police have been operating, doing traffic enforcement and basic, like, kind of like low-level police work here in the city. And in just like a week, they generated like tens of thousands in revenue and picked up lots of cocaine and other drugs. So they're doing something. Anyway. Oh man, Publius is in GM is in Germinal. Hey Arlington, cool. Man, we got Texans all over the place on the good old Lone Star SDF system there. All right, I guess now is as good a time as any to remind you that you're listening to Non Radio, which is powered by SDF. SDF's powered by you. I mentioned that at the beginning. But something to know is that every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is a show that airs no matter what. Even though Oh, wow, that's a private prop plane flying over me. No matter what, even when he doesn't want to, somehow the force of nature requires a show to be aired, and that's what happened. So, very cool. Check it out. It's at 1930 UTC. Very fun show. And then just press the equal sign. If you're in comm, you can see all the shows coming up. Today being Wednesday, that means that Cinesphere's show, The Sound of Synergy, is up. And then we also have Chinese Pop Music with King Feng at 800 hours, 0800, along with Shake Your Booty with DJ Mac at 1600 hours tomorrow. So anyway, check it all out. There's a lot of stuff to do. Tobe's talking about brisket. Sounds delicious. All right. In my hometown, we had a siren, but it was our hurricane siren. Because I lived on the water. And so the horn, the siren, my mom worked at the hospital, so she knew the patterns. But there was like one signal that meant all the hospital workers needed to go to the hospital. And one meant that like that there was a storm imminent and you needed to hunker down. And there was another one that meant something else. But man, whenever that thing went off, you went inside and got in a room with no windows, and the whole house would be shaking, bumping and jumping. All right, Bob Junkman suggests you never live in or move to a town that needs a chemical spill alert siren. Ooh, sounds like a good suggestion. Chocolate factory. Now that, except for that place where the chocolate factory exploded. All right. Well, so no matter how good or bad your day's going, at least you're not an Air Vanitaal passenger. Guess how many airplanes they have? Yeah, that's right, one. Air Vanitaal customers face several days of delays after its only Boeing 737 plane broke down, leaving passengers stranded in Auckland, Sydney, and Port Vila. Passengers will face delays for at least another few days, the airline said, after the plane broke down on Friday. The flight, which was due to take off from Brisbane and land in Port Vila, was canceled due to a mechanical issue. Air Vanitaal operates one 737-800 aircraft, which flies all mid-haul routes from Port Vila, including to New Zealand and Australia. The aircraft is currently in Australia awaiting parts that are being sourced with support from Boeing offices in the U.S. and Australia. I guess you're just stuck. I mean, call your family, let them know. Tell your boss to send a boat. I'm from a small town called Palacios, Texas, and in Lolita, Texas, and Point Comfort, that's where the, Alcoa chemical plant is. It's an oil refinery, and there have been multiple explosions there since I was growing up. And man, I tell you what, one time it blew up so hard that it knocked down all the houses that were around it, and nobody built them back. So, I guess they learned their lesson. Alright. Well, let's get into the technology stuff. There's a bunch of other news I want to get into, but we just don't have time. So first, this is kind of a technology thing. This is more of a fuck around and find out story. A popular U.S. YouTube creator who prides himself on making videos in which he displays odd behavior to put people off and tends to keep at it, even after one of his targets allegedly shot him. Tanner Cook, is his real name, who regularly makes videos of himself pranking strangers for nearly 40,000 subscribers. Wow, 40 whole thousand subscribers. That's not enough. Was reportedly playing a practical joke on a man at a mall in Washington suburb of Dulles, Virginia, at about midday on Sunday. A friend was recording him when things took an almost deadly turn, according to authorities, as well as an interview Cook gave to the local TV station. The man pulled a gun out and shot Cook in the stomach, investigators allege. Cook, 21, survived the wound and had to undergo surgery after first responders brought him to a hospital. "I was playing a simple joke, and this guy didn't take it very well." Cook said the man who shot him didn't say anything before firing on him, which authorities said also caused a panic among mallgoers. A criminal complaint filed against the man after the shooting identified Cook as his alleged victim, according to a report. The complaint didn't specify a motive for the attack, saying it only resulted from an interaction. It also said Collie was sitting in the shopping center's food court near a pistol when officers arrested him and subsequently booked him. Cook's page contains clips of him acting as if he's vomiting on ride-sharing service drivers, making a fast food restaurant employee nervous by going behind the establishment's counter and bothering people at the store. So the fact that he's not learning a lesson is very sad. Claudio M. points out, my sons have shown me a few other YouTubers that do that kind of stuff. Kept saying, one of them's going to get the crap end of the stick. Something we always warn people about, but they're not too into it. All right, so here's the tech stuff. This is very cool. First, two more Natrium. I'm not sure what Natrium's about, but U.S. utility PacifiCorp has increased its ambition for using Natrium advanced reactors in the 2030s, adding two further units to its plan in addition to the demonstration unit already slated for a retiring coal power plant in Kemmerer, Wyoming. While the Kemmerer project's operation has been pushed back by 2 years to 2030 due to the unavailability of non-Russian origin high-assay low-enriched uranium, or HALEU, fuel. That's a bummer. It's kind of wild. I didn't quite put that together. Natrium reactors store heat in a molten salt to boost their power from 345 megawatts electric to 500 megawatts energy for as long as 5.5 hours to serve peak demand or fill in for times of lower renewable generation. So, pretty cool. Ask Publius about Natrium if you want, if you're curious. And a dive team has entered the Sellafield Pond. For the first time in over 60 years, divers have entered Sellafield's pile fuel storage pond as they clear up some of the most challenging spots to clean up. Drones and robots are taking on an increasing share of hazardous work elsewhere on the site. So they work up to 3.5 hour shifts to clear sludge and debris from parts of the pond other things can't reach. It was built in the 1940s as part of the UK nuclear weapons program, and the open air pond suffered buildups of algae as well as the decay of nuclear fuel elements and other debris. Well, shucks, we're out of time. It's going to be time for the Dubious Goals Committee coming up next. Please check that out, and I'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye. Sodium cool reactors are freaking scary, but they really do have their benefits. Cool, LCD. Now do Wolfram.